right now.
Okay.
A woman's place, Forest Hills, was the second, as far as I know, of Women's Center, and it was on Barrington Street. It was host to a lot of women's projects, and there were unspoken a lot of lesbians involved in it. And at one point there came a kind of situation where the straight women said, well, there's too many lesbians and we don't sort of want you so much anymore, and so a lot of lesbians left. And then the rest of the women discovered how much of the work had been done by the lesbians. And after a couple of months, they rescinded their request and said, come back.
Did they?
Yeah.
Was it an apology?
Where was it?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't, you know, on the board of it. It was down towards the end of Belgian Street near the train station.
Okay.
1588? No, that's the turret, isn't it?
Yeah, that's 1588, that's right.
Yeah.
Please, I remember that.
In the ground floor, there was a second-hand clothing store, and that was run by the Junior League of Halifax. And then on the second floor was the space where women could come in, and there were meetings. There were even small dances. It was not unknown for there to be toplessness occurring on those dancing occasions. And in the daytime, there was a women's calendar, which came as monthly, and sort of like Dan's website listed the women's events that were going on for the next month, so you'd be sure to show up at the demonstration or the meeting or whatever. And on the top floor, there was a project funded by the federal government called Women's Employment Outreach. And they moved out after a while, but they were there for a good many years. So that's why it was so important.
Bishop Street.
I put that on the list.
Yeah.
That was a place where it was a woman's, Sandra, I can't remember her last name, and it was just a house. And it was pretty large,
right.
And people used to just kind of hang out there, a lot of women. She was straight, as I remember. And, but it just seemed to attract, like, sort of like an artsy kind of lesbian kind of crowd, so.
Yeah, the row houses on Bishop Street. She lived in one of them.
Do you remember her?
Yeah, I just lived in Hollister.
Oh, okay.
Across the street, like here. Yeah.
Sure. Maybe we're at Breton Street.
Breton Street Women's Center was before Forest House, and it was on Breton Street. As you might imagine, they had workshops there, and that was where I met the first lesbian that I knew was one. And they had health workshops, and I think maybe writing poetry and self-expressions, and it was the Women's Center.
That is, Bishop Street was?
Breton Street, actually.
Breton Street.
We moved out.
For the men, Camp Hill Cemetery cruising area.
Well, that was there then.
It was.
Yeah.
Hands up for people. And what we're going to do is we've talked about how we're going to present this to junior, senior high school students, and the people doing this history project assured me that this is a standard thing that they do. So it'll be...
You could say cruising glasses.
they might not actually use the word cruising. It might actually say
meeting place.
Meeting place.
Almost a place.
It happens to be a meeting in a cemetery.
Really.
And one of the
places is a nip.
Yeah.
This day when you're a nip, but.
Club 77 or the club?
Yes. Yeah. That was my first club.
Free. Okay.
Yeah.
Where was it?
It was the Green Lantern building.
Okay.
Their chandeliers were perforated tin cans against in the wall.
I never heard of a place called Club Unusual.
Me neither.
Yeah.
No.
Rebecca Rose cites it in Before the Parade. Oh, I just looked up place names from Rebecca Rose's index from her book.
Mm. Yeah.
Condon's Bar.
Yeah. He took over from David Gray, but
right.
He liked chickens.
That was the same place as the club, wasn't it?
Well, he did. You know, it's like if you're not a chicken, well, maybe you shouldn't come here.
hands up who remembers the Cow Bay picnic.
Hmm.
That was a wild one.
Lynn, you added the Lighthouse Tavern, and why?
We just skipped past the question there.
I know we did. We're
the Lighthouse Tavern?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I just used to hang out there with Linda Bears and some other bears.
You get them out of the way. Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. The hooks and all that
and,
stuff.
And they had male strippers. One of them was Tony.
Oh, right, Tony, yes.
Oh, I thought only one was toned.
Tony.
Oh, I thought you said it was Tony, then I said it was Tony. I go, what?
Tony said.
A black guy.
Lynn, you got around.
We used to say, we're going to dad and see Tony's dad.
I worked down here. We used to see Lynn.
I have a photo of Tony from Jim Dean's collection. And, probably when he was 18 years old and truly beautiful. The move office, so Lynn, you mentioned that.
That was sent in by Debbie Trask.
Okay.
I think there were a lot of lefties hung up there. Including
what was it?
Perhaps Robert Metcalf. It was called Movement for Citizens' Voice and Action, was the full name of move. Uh-huh. I don't know much about it. Mm-hmm. Debbie Trask's nomination.
Brenda's Crate Wagon. Hands. One.
Never heard of it.
Oh, well, I have.
Two.
Just go for that. As an investor.
Does anyone... there's kind of a hole in the map called Dartmouth. Does anyone have any queer... connections to Dartmouth. Can anyone name anything? I have a rather peculiar one.
No, there's never any particular park, you know. That's not that.
Which one?
Portland or probably.
Oh, that's who you question
in Halifax. But back then there was no
I know, I lived in Dartmouth. I was in Dartmouth.
Later on. But
Chica Studio. When did you have that?
Sakai Studio. Sakai was a dancer, a gay man, and he used to let us use this studio where we tap dance for the women to come in and have a social and a dance, and it was his studio and his living space, and he would clear it for the night and go someplace else and get in and dance.
Where is he now, then?
Well, he moved to Montreal, and after that, I lost track of him.
Okay.
I think he might not be alive anymore. He was, he was black, he was from a military family that were based in maybe originally either Nova Scotia or PEI, and he was a New York guy.
Very cool. Are people ready to have a very brief break, load up their plates, grab some refresh their drinks?
Sounds good.
Yeah, you put your coat back on.
Round of applause, please, for our chef. And big happy tomorrow night for our sponsor.
Hello.
Thank you, sponsor. Okay. Thank you all. Okay, let's burn back into it. How important was Dr. Bob's office?
I've already heard from people about it, so yes, I would say very much.
So, Bob, your office was in, I remember your office being on Queen Street, but.
No, this was
Houston, in Barrington, Kyberville.
Kyberville?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. August 15th, 1976.
Okay.
So I got fired the following Christmas.
How did you get fired from your own plan?
3 weeks after they found, I told the lady I was having a relationship with a man, I was called in for a review.
Yeah.
And I brought the complete black and the red and in the black and the red. Anyway, it doesn't matter, whole story. But within 3 weeks I was fired.
So this was not your clinic, this was someone else's clinic?
No, it was the Halifax Youth Clinic. It was a community organization. And it was a street clinic. We had burlap on the couches and stuff like that. It had the second floor of Cairo building. Right underneath where the sewer was.
Okay.
I made all I would leave town. Prior to Christmas, and I started my own office February 1st on Spring Garden. 78. Mm-hmm. Meg Mitchell building.
And I could tell you another one up, after our birth up on Benton Street, where the Argyle TV used to be. You went around the back, you paid your fear to get in, they gave you two flashlights and a can of Braid because of the rats.
Oh!
Believe me, there were rats, but the girls were busy at it, you know. Another thing, so the rats didn't bother them. So. That's what you thought. You didn't get a prize, you got a can of Raid. The rat was good to me. Yeah. And two fly plugs. And don't lose the fly plugs, you gotta pay for it. I just stroll through, you know.
I remember it was Murray's Cafe. Murray's.
Murray's.
Yeah.
It was a restaurant.
I know, it was in the
train. Where was it? It was next
well, it was by the entrance to, well, the Spring Garden Road entrance to the Lord Nelson.
Oh.
You go
away. Oh, yeah, there was a cafe,
right?
Yeah.
What? Jim DeYoung's apartment.
Yeah, well.
He's a patient, I think.
So you have a lot of Zoom in
and you got many of those souvenirs secured at Dr. Bob's office.
Which apartment are you talking about? He doesn't have many of them. Well, now you have done just
Dr. Wrong. Bob still go?
Also, in terms of places outside of HRM, how about Metagen with both Jack Murphy's with the bishop and with Alphonse Robichaud, who is a famous Boston dancer.
Jack, what's Jack Murphy's thing?
He got married to his original boyfriend, and the bishop excommunicated him, basically.
About when was this?
Oh, 20 years ago, would you say?
Yeah, or even a little bit earlier. Like, I think
so about 2000, or is this?
No, not is this ago. I think it's more like 70s. Let me see.
No.
Oh, well, we can look it up. So
Adolphe Robichaud is 1906, though.
Yeah.
And he lived in Metagen in the 30s to the 50s.
Yeah, and that's well outside of the city, so that makes a nice outside as well.
We could always call Jack and get the details.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
okay,
Jack.
About approximately the 1970s. Stockade Restaurant. Stockade. One.
There was a bar actually after hours. The Stockade Restaurant.
What? A bar after hours? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And then you added that.
In the back. It turned into a club at night, actually, the dance floor, everything. in Stockade.
That's pretty cool.
It didn't last very long, but yeah, I think it was too far away. It's up on the forum.
Yeah.
So people never managed to get
there. Well, the Stockade was across, on Wind Road across from the forum.
Yeah.
And then they turned it into a gay bar.
But that, the Stockade didn't turn it into a gay bar. They kind of leased it to somebody who did.
I know Ginger knows about a gay bar that had no name at all or a license. Its walls were painted black, its ceiling was white.
Where was it?
And a lot of the clientele were raked there by the 13th Tribe.
Oh, that was down on Water Street.
Water Street.
That's where the first gay club was down there.
What year about?
What?
What year about?
Just 76.
76?
That's where the first gay club opened down on.
Oh,
right across from the back. It used to be the Morris Tea Factory. It used to have, it's called
part of the Morris Tea thing.
Yeah. And the building's gone now.
Yeah.
And you went in and you paid your fare, and if you want an elevator, someone pulled the rope.
Oh.
Yeah. Or take the stairs, three flights of stairs. You know, when you got up, it was a big room, all painted with black wall and purple lights. And I had something to hang my coat up, they rolled up and threw it in the corner. And you brought your own booze.
So, you bring your own booze.
But you weren't allowed to curse.
Oh. And no lesbians allowed.
No, because Dave, anyway. There was three that owned the Bernie Feener, and so the 13 Tribe said, how come you're not letting the lesbians in? And this is what they were told. Well, they're not homosexuals. He said, well, what are they? Well, they're women. He said, yeah, but they're queer. Home, whatever. And they got into an argument. It was a couple of weeks after that. In they come. And they went after several of them on the top floor. I was up on the roof looking down. Now, I'll try to do it now. I have to get a barman to get me up there. But that's how it was back. It was terrible. If you walk down Spring Garden Road from Stoke Park and get past the old library without getting hit with a brick, you had an A. And it was bad. Oh, yeah. And cars would come by and they ask them. They'd throw urine in your face and everything. Oh, it was terrible. And they were called fag beaters.
Pete House.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you mentioned Deb Trask. I remember she used to go to Broad Coat. There was a women's dance in Broad Coat for several years.
Where what coat?
I wasn't a lesbian, so
no.
So you think it's called Broad Coat?
Broad Coat. Barbara Hines lived.
Broad
Coat. It is between Petite Revere and Cherry Hill.
Hey. Other women at the table here, do you remember that that element?
No.
Not so much? Okay.
No.
The Woolco Washroom.
Remember those guys got arrested? Do you know their names?
I didn't go there.
Oh, no, really?
Well, yeah, before they had crime, they picked up six guys in the washroom at Woolco, and their names were in the paper the next day. No trial, no nothing.
I think in creating junior and senior high school material, I think there's an opportunity to mention these cruising areas and washrooms in the context of saying, well, this, if you want a measure of how oppressed homosexuality was, these are people who risked all kinds of things to meet up for it. That's our list. What I would like to suggest is that you guys refresh your plates and your drinks.